In our next segment, I'm very happy to introduce Catherine Emery. She's founder and CEO of Reset Social Enterprise Trust, as well as the Walker Group. And we've invited Catherine here to talk about an important development in terms of corporate law in the state of Connecticut, which connects to a sort of wave of change in terms of how businesses incorporate across the country, not just here in Connecticut, but it's somewhat of a change in direction in terms of incorporation law. And Catherine, again, very happy you could make it here this evening. And maybe I can ask you first to talk about your organizations briefly. That would be Reset, the Social Enterprise Trust, as well as the Walker Group.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me. Reset, or Social Enterprise Trust, at socialenterprisetrust.org, is a 501c3, so we're a nonprofit that's dedicated to helping businesses that want to use the free market to make the world a better place. So they're selling goods and services in order to not necessarily just make the biggest returns for shareholders. They want to make the biggest return for all of us in the form of some kind of social benefit.
Right. And maybe we could talk about the development which prompted me to give you a call and invite you on the program. And that was the establishment of something called benefit corporation status in a law passed May 7th of this year in the state legislature, which just went into effect a few days ago on October 1st. Maybe you could tell us what a benefit corporation is. And I know you're a big part of pushing for this in the state of Connecticut. But there are other states, of course, that you'll tell us about that already have this particular corporate status. But what is a benefit corporation?
So a benefit corporation or a social enterprise is really any business, so it's an organization that sells goods or services. So it's any business that is structured in order to make a positive difference in the world. So the big difference is that you in the past have had a choice between a for-profit company, which is supposed to be there to maximize the value of the financial shares to provide a return on investment to shareholders. And then you, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the nonprofits who are mission-driven and they're trying to make the world a better place. And in the not-so-distant past, what you had was this sort of false bifurcation of the organizations that are structured in the United States, saying that you're either mission-driven or money-driven. And what benefit corporations do is to say, well, wait a minute, there can be this sort of hybrid type of organization, a business that's a taxable entity, it's a legitimate, or a business that's serious about the products or services that they sell, but they're doing that in order to advance a mission, not unlike a nonprofit would. So it's using the business to advance the cause rather than just to have a donor type organization that's raising funds in order to advance the cause. And that's a huge step in terms of having us as a society really recognize the fact that, wait a minute, we can be in business for all different kinds of reasons, and one of those reasons might be that we want to make a difference in the world.
Now, benefit corporations offer, a branding of your business as something beyond just the enhancing the bottom line or maximizing your profits. But what are the other tangible benefits for a business that wants to declare itself a benefit corporation as opposed to a sort of a standard corporation?
Right. Well, one of the biggest things that's important to somebody who's thinking of starting a social enterprise and taking on investors is that they don't have to worry about being sued by an investor for not maximizing the bottom line because they're pursuing that social mission. So if you go into business as a traditional business and you take on investors and you make a choice that an investor may decide is not really in their best interest, that's not going to maximize the shareholder value, they can sue you. And rightfully so, because your contract with them is to maximize their return on investment. But when you are a social enterprise, what you're saying is, we have two bottom lines. We're interested in a return to investors financially, but we're also interested in making that social impact. And so we may make decisions that aren't necessarily going to maximize the financial returns because we're making a choice to do something that's actually going to be better for the social impact that we're looking for. And if you are an investor in a benefit corp, in a social enterprise, you need to go into that eyes wide open and recognize, I'm not just looking for that financial return, I'm also looking for a social return. So that's a very important thing to a social entrepreneur.
Our guest tonight is Catherine Emery, founder and CEO of Reset Social Enterprise Trust and the Walker Group, and we're talking about the establishment of what we're discussing this evening, benefit corporations in the state of Connecticut, passed into law on May 7th here in the state legislature, and just going into effect a few days ago on October 1st. Catherine, as I understand it, there are about maybe 25 states in the United States that have benefit corporations on the books, but the Connecticut legislation that passed here has some unique features that differentiate it from the other laws in different states. Maybe you could speak to that.
Sure. It's exciting to me personally because Connecticut has really the most comprehensive social enterprise law, benefit corporation law, on its books. So when I think you had mentioned I own the Walker Group, which is a for-profit C corporation, and when I decided I wanted to make that a social enterprise, there was no law on the books, and so I changed the bylaws and articles of incorporation to say that we would operate in a socially responsible way, we would be fiscally transparent, we would have participative governance, and that any of the profits we distribute, one-third would go to the community, one-third would go to employees, and one-third would go to the shareholders. And that's all well and good as long as I have a majority of the shares. But assume I sell or I die, whatever the future brings, at some point I'm no longer going to be the majority shareholder. And at that point, with a typical kind of structure, then whoever is the majority shareholder could say, well, wait a minute, I want to go back to business as usual. And I wanted to protect Walker against that eventuality. So that was the original impetus for creating the Social Enterprise Trust, or Reset. I created a nonprofit and I gave a golden share of Walker to it, which gave it an easement over Walker, and doesn't give it any day-to-day control over Walker, but it gives it a controlling vote, a veto vote, over any changes to those social enterprise aspects. So if another majority common shareholder came in and said, I want to go back to business as usual, they would need the vote of Reset, and Reset's not going to dilute the social enterprise structure of Walker. So that was a complicated way of accomplishing the protection of Walker as a social enterprise in perpetuity. So when we were working on the law for Connecticut, what I really wanted to see enacted was something that would allow people in a similar situation that wanted to protect the company that they built, and create an ongoing legacy of social enterprise, that it would give them an opportunity to do the same. So in Connecticut, unlike any other state, if after 2 years of operating as a social enterprise, the shareholders unanimously vote that they want to protect that legacy in perpetuity, they can pull the preservation clause, and then the structure or the status of the company as a social enterprise is then sort of cast in concrete. So then it's protected in perpetuity and it cannot be undone. And there's no other state that offers that kind of protection, which is pretty great.
So does that mean that even if the shareholder, the makeup of the shareholders change and the majority of shareholders want to switch back to a standard corporation, they could not do that? They'd have to set off and form another group?
Correct. So it's very similar to like the nonprofits. You know, you can't sort of undo without a whole lot of, I mean, there's ways around everything, but the law protects a nonprofit from saying, oh, you know, we collected all this, these donations and this goodwill, as a nonprofit, and now we're going to flip it over and have it become a for-profit company. Laws protect nonprofits, from that kind of approach, and in this case, it too would protect a social enterprise from future actions to try and turn it away from that social enterprise structure.
Right. I believe if a nonprofit dissolves, goes out of business, the assets have to be distributed to another nonprofit.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
so it's totally voluntary. You can set up a you can set up a social enterprise, you know, in the way that other social enterprises are set up, and have it be such that a majority of shareholders can flip it away from that. But for those people who want to have that legacy provision, they have a way of doing that in Connecticut, which they don't have in other states.
Catherine, are there any tax benefits for benefit corporations in the state of Connecticut, such as, you know, there are with traditional nonprofits, given that their mission is for the public good or education or some other benefit to the commons? What is the tax obligation of a benefit corporation?
It's the same as any other corporation. There is no special tax, preference for a social enterprise. It's really a statement of mission, if you will, from the entrepreneur who says, this is what I'm in business for, this is what I'm doing it for, and I understand I'm in business and I expect to pay my taxes like any other citizen or any other business. And that's a conscious decision to say, first of all, you don't want people taking on the benefit corp status because it's going to confer some kind of tax benefit to them. And really part of the whole social enterprise aspect is saying we are in business, we're part of the community, and we thrive because the community thrives, and therefore we need to pay our part of it as well. So the short answer is no, there is no special tax benefit by being a social enterprise.
This is Counterpoint. We're speaking tonight with Catherine Emery, founder and CEO of Reset, the Social Enterprise Trust, and the Walker Group. And we're talking about the establishment of benefit corporations here in the state of Connecticut. Catherine, corporate status went into effect October 1st. Can you give us some examples of the businesses that have chosen to incorporate as a benefit corporation? I know some of them were lining up and they couldn't wait to take advantage of this new status, but maybe you could sort of give us a sense of the kinds of businesses that are attracted to this status.
Sure. So, I mean, the Walker Group is a great example. We provide technology services throughout New England. We're, you know, in every other respect, a very typical business-to-business business. And we, our way of giving back to the community is that that one third of our distributed profits goes to the community. Then you've got a company like, Simply Smiles, who actually was incorporated in New York and then chose to reincorporate in Connecticut, as a social enterprise, and they're, part of their mission is providing good wages and other opportunities for companies or individuals that are providing the coffee that they use to make the coffee beans that they use to make the coffee that then is distributed in the United States. And so they're providing education and other benefits to the farmers by way of giving back. There are companies that are technology driven. There are companies that are food oriented. There are companies that use their operations, like a restaurant that would use its operations in order to provide opportunities for people who otherwise wouldn't get that opportunity, and then it gives them experience and training that they can use to get jobs elsewhere. So it's the whole range of just simply using profits to using the operations itself of the business to provide a way of giving back.
Catherine, are there other examples of unique businesses that have developed in other states? It's early in Connecticut yet, but are there other kind of important uses for the benefit corporation that you've seen around the country and in other states?
Well, there's sort of every different flavor that you can come up with. One of the ones that we're seeing a lot more of is the, you know, buy one, give one. So it's the, you know, Tom Shoes or the Warby Parker glasses, where if you buy a pair, we give a pair to somebody who otherwise couldn't afford it, and that's a way of doing it. Or it's a, you know, with renewable energy and some of the other alternative energy kinds of approaches, it's a way of getting those kinds of businesses off the ground that otherwise would not find traction because their rate today may not be the immediate return on investment, but they're willing to take it a little bit slower, given the fact that the long run has huge ramifications for all of us.
How about the healthcare sphere? I mean, you know, a lot of people are focused on, you know, the for-profit character of a lot of our healthcare system, which makes it so crazy expensive to just get basic, you know, health treatment. Are there uses for the benefit corporation in the healthcare sphere?
There's huge opportunities there, both just in terms of providing more of the traditional kinds of services, but in a more or maybe a less bottom line focused approach, but a more holistic, caring approach. And then there's sort of new opportunities for taking, in a lot of cases, it's alternative types of medicine, but trying out different kinds of delivery systems, different kinds of solutions that just wouldn't be possible in the traditional for-profit approach. Another, industry where that becomes a kind of no-brainer is in the prison systems. You've got, a press toward doing things for-profit in that area, which can create some pretty crazy situations. And so if you've got an organization that is doing it not in order to make a profit, but in order to actually make a difference in the lives of people coming out of incarceration, you can have incredibly different kinds of results. And one of the things that's an incredibly important part of the whole social enterprise aspect or industry is the whole idea of how do you measure impact. So when you've got a traditional organization that's measured simply by the bottom line, it's a pretty simple equation. But when you've got a social enterprise, now you've got that bottom line, no money, no mission, but you've also got this, how do you measure the impact that you're making? And there's a lot of work being done on that, or in that area, and that's going to be increasingly important as time goes on, because people want to see the impact.
Right. Well, that reminds me of a quick question I had in terms of a litmus test. Does a corporation that wants to incorporate as a benefit corporation, does it have to pass some kind of litmus test? Is there an annual kind of checkup that ensures that it's fulfilling its maximization of profit of mission?
Right. So they're required to submit an annual impact report that's showing what they're doing to advance the social cause that they're getting behind, and then they have to submit to a independent audit of their social impact on a regular basis, and that enables somebody outside the organization to take a look at it and then report on that, and that becomes available to the public as well. It's still up to the public, you know, to individuals, if you're thinking of investing in a company, to ascertain whether the impact is, you know, sufficient for what you think should be done with what they're doing. So there's no sort of pass fail kind of a thing, but there's a reporting that would enable somebody to then make the evaluation themselves.
Right. Yeah, because we've seen some for-profit corporations, you know, do the greenwashing thing where they paint themselves as these great environmental companies, and then you scratch the surface and you find out it's just all advertising.
Right.
It's all superficial junk.
Yeah.
But what you're saying here is there's some kind of paper trail that people could follow to see if these benefit corporations are really fulfilling their mission, so that's important.
Correct, and I'm sure over time there will be, you know, I don't know what the word will be for it, other than the greenwashing, but that kind of idea, I think you're gonna see that happen. But I also think you'll start to see organizations that spring up that will be doing the due diligence and reporting out, so that individuals don't have to do all the in-depth research themselves.
Yeah, like we have with the No Sweatshop Movement certifying
right.
it, or
exactly.
the Fair Trade, or,
yep.
or Organics. There's a board
exactly.
that certifies organics. Well,
yep.
this is all great news, Catherine. We don't explore a lot of great news on this program, so I'm very happy that you could make it tonight. Hey, one quick thing before we run out of time. I had heard that, you know, Ben and Jerry's, the founders of that corporate ice cream company, you know, very socially conscious and active individuals, sold out to Unilever years ago. And I think they had to, because they had to maximize profit for their shareholders. If there was a benefit corporation option around at that time in Vermont, I guess is where they were incorporated, you know, would have it turned out differently? Maybe that's a story we don't have time for, but if you could, just tell us a little bit about that one.
I believe that would have changed the game right there if they had the ability to incorporate as a benefit corp. That would have changed the picture. But the good news is, as you said, Unilever gobbled up Ben and Jerry's, but you are what you eat, right? So the Ben and Jerry's is now the first wholly owned subsidiary of a Fortune 500 company that's become a benefit corp. And I think there's a huge opportunity for them to start to change things from the inside now.
Is that a benefit corp status that they've done in Vermont or elsewhere?
I believe that was in Vermont.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a story you could follow up on. Catherine, it's great to talk with you. Thanks for the good news about benefit corporations. And, I'm happy you could spend time with us and explain it, this new concept.
You. Great to talk to you.
Do leave our listeners with the web address for your group, RESET, the Social Enterprise Trust.
Sure. So it's RESET, but the full name is Social Enterprise Trust, and you can find us at www.socialenterprisetrust.org.
Okay. Again, thanks for spending time with us, Catherine.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Catherine Emery, founder and CEO of Reset, the Social Enterprise Trust, and the Walker Group, talking about benefit corporations new to the state of Connecticut with some exciting advantages over similar benefit corporation status in other states around the country.